First of all, I would like to get the Honorable Chair's permission to introduce the members of the delegation from the Commission. Thank you. On my extreme left is Mr. Mukagi, who serves as Secretary to the Commission. And on my immediate left is Advocate Osvaldo Rotondi, who is Commissioner on the Commission. I happen to be Molelegi, the acting chair of the Commission on Traditional Leadership, Business and Faith. I should also point out that since the resignation of our former chairperson, Prof. Kantako, we refer to ourselves as Commission on Traditional Leadership, Business and Faith, and no longer as the Kantako Commission. The Commission appreciates the opportunity to be invited for a presentation on the topic identified by the Portfolio Committee. If the Chair allows, may I first make a presentation on topics A to D as identified in our invitation letter. And then thereafter, perhaps the delegation takes questions and observations. And then only thereafter will I, with your permission, Chairperson, request the Advocate Professor of Theory to present on the last topic, and the Commission will be in a position to take questions. I need your guidance, Honorable Chairperson.
But I wonder whether members kept the letter, the original letter.
Yes.
John, I'm going to ask you just to read those topics so that
yes.
You can
thank you, Chairperson.
Otherwise, it's okay to proceed as you
The letter says, in essence, now that the Commission has issued determinations on kingship, A, what is the next step? B, what is going to happen to the imposed king? C, how long is it going to take to finish the work? D, how many things or districts you are dealing with? That is now topic A to D. Those are the ones I propose to deal with. And then the last one, E, anything that will assist the Commission in relation to the two bills in front of the Portfolio Committee. That I propose that Commissioner Agustin should deal with. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. As background to the Commission's response to topic A to D, I would like to provide the following background information to the Honorable Portfolio Committee. The Commission was established by Section 22.1 of the Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Act of 2003. Thus, the Commission was established from the date on which the Act came into operation, namely 24 September 2004. Whilst commissioners were appointed by the President with effect from 1 November 2004. In terms of Section 25(2) of this Act, the Commission has authority to investigate either on request or of its own accord, Roman Figure 1, a case where there is doubt as whether a kingship, senior traditional leadership, or headmanship was established in accordance with customary law and custom. Roman Figure 2, a traditional leadership position where the title or right of the incumbent is contested. 3, claimed by communities recognized as traditional communities. 4, the legitimacy of the establishment or disestablishment of tribes. and five, disputes resulting from the determination of traditional authority boundaries and the merging or division of tribes. This is from section 25(2) of the Act. However, in terms of section 28(7) of the Act, the Commission must, in terms of section 25 subsection 2, investigate the position of paramountcies and paramount chiefs that had been established and recognized, and which were still in existence and recognized before the commencement of the Act, before the Commission commences with any other investigation in terms of section. So in terms of this section, we are instructed on how we should proceed with our investigation. Furthermore, in terms of section 25(1), the Commission operates nationally and has authority to decide on any traditional leadership dispute and claim arising in any province. Again, if I go back to the Act, in terms of section 25, subsection 4, the Commission has authority to investigate all traditional leadership claims and disputes dating from 1 September 1927. Subject to subsection 284, which stipulates that where good grounds exist, the Commission may consider events that may have arisen before 1 September 1927. Again, and this forms the pivot of our method of investigation. Section 25, subsection 3. When considering a dispute or claim, the Commission must consider and apply customary law and the customs of the relevant traditional community as they were when the events occurred that gave rise to the dispute or claim. What I mean when I say this constitutes our point of departure is that in our investigation, we always have to consider how the customary law and customs of the relevant traditional community were when the events that occurred gave rise to the dispute or claim. Also, in our investigation, we are guided by what stands in the preamble to the Act, where it is stated that whereas the state, in accordance with the Constitution, seeks to restore the integrity and legitimacy of the institution of traditional leadership in line with customary law and practice. So customary law and practice become the operative way. Again, in terms of section 25, subsection 5, the Commission must complete its mandate within a period of 5 years or within such longer period as the President may determine. If one takes into consideration that the Act came into operation on 24 September 2004, then the 5-year term of the Commission ends on 23 September 2009. But if one takes into cognizance that the Commission was inaugurated on 1 November 2004, then the 5-year term ends on 30th October 2009. However, this is a matter better left for our principal. Since the Commission is enjoined by the provisions of Section 28(7) of the Act, to investigate the position of existing and recognize paramountcy. And paramountcy before it commences with any other investigation, the commission investigated the existing 12 paramountcy first. During the first stage of the investigation, the commission determined which of the 12 paramountcy qualified to be kinship in terms of custom and customary law, and which ones do not qualify. This process led to the release of the commission findings on 29 and 30th April 2008 at the Conference Center in Benoni. The decision of the commission was that 6 out of the 12 existing and 49 paramounts are kinship. Now to come back to the first question posed. Now that the commission has issued determination on kinship, what is the next step? The second stage of the commission investigation is to determine the position of the incumbent of the 12 paramounts, be it those determined to be kinship or those determined not to be kinship. This entails further investigation of disputes over paramounts determined to be kinship. That is what we are dealing with now. Further investigation into disputes over paramountcy determined to be kinship to determine the rightful incumbent. And also, we are investigating the customarily rightful position of the current incumbent of the paramountcy determined not to be kinship. We have 6 existing paramounts which have not been determined to be kinship. Now, what is their rightful position? This is what we are currently investigating. The next question is, what is going to happen to the deposed king? Before the commencement of Act 41, the highest traditional leadership position was that of paramountcy or paramount chief. Kingship is established in terms of Section 8 of the Act, which recognizes the positions of kingship, senior traditional leadership, and headmanship or headwomanship. Therefore, it might not be entirely accurate to say kings have been deposed. In our view, to be more accurate, in the course of its investigation into the position of existing paramountcy, the commission made a finding that the position of some of the paramountcy is that of kingship, whereas the position of other paramountcy is not that of kingship. Since the Act does not recognize the paramountcy or paramount chief position, the mandate of the commission is to determine the position of those paramountcy and those who held the position of paramountcy before the Act came into operation. And this is what the commission is currently dealing with. What should be happening now to these paramountcy? The answer is embraced in Section 28.1 of the Act, which provides as follows, 28.1. Any traditional leader who was appointed as such in terms of applicable provincial legislation and was still recognized as a traditional leader immediately before the commencement of this Act is deemed to have been recognized in terms of Act 9 or 11, subject to the decision of the Commission in terms of Section 26. Therefore, the Commission must first finalize the two stages mentioned regarding paramountcy and paramountship before the government may act in terms of Section 26. This is what is currently happening with all existing paramountcies. The transitional arrangement as provided for in terms of Section 28.1 of A. But after completion of the investigation in terms of 28.7, Section 26 of the Act provides as follows. This is now what should happen to the paramountcy determined not to be kingship. 26.1. A decision of the Commission is taken with the support of at least two-thirds of the members of the Commission. 26.2. A decision of the Commission must, within 2 weeks of the decision being taken, be conveyed to the President for immediate implementation in accordance with Section 9 or 10, where the position of a king or queen is affected by such a decision, and the relevant provincial government and any other relevant functionary which must immediately implement the decision of the Commission in accordance with applicable provincial legislation insofar as the implementation of the decision does not relate to the recognition of removal of a king or queen in terms of Section 9 or 10. Any decision taken by the Commission must be conveyed to the President. And I must confess, this is how far our mandate goes. We convey the decision to the President for implementation. Thereafter, we have no mandate relating to how to carry the process forward. The third question: how long is it going to take to finish the work? As a new initiative, without precedent within its field of mandate, the Commission started by setting up an operational structure. An office was set up, the process of appointing staff was set in motion, and the rules and procedures on how the Commission was to operate were put in place. By the time the Commission started with the actual task of investigation, it was in June 2005. The pace at which the Commission worked on the investigation was and still is curtailed by sectors beyond its control. Among others, the fact that commissioners are part-time. Commissioners work 2 weeks a month, meaning that after 10 months, they have actually worked 20 weeks, if my arithmetic is correct. And that 20 weeks translates to 5 months a year. Also, what curtails the investigation process of the Commission is the irregular availability of some of the commissioners. because they are not full time. Also, most of the hearings extended beyond the time slot they were initially allocated. That one matter occupied the commission much more than anticipated. Of late, the decisions of the commission are challenged in the court of law. But also what throws the spanner into the west is the method of investigation, the nature of our investigation. Here I could impart this information to the honorable members of the portfolio committee. In the process of its investigation, the commission conducts public hearings, and it has conducted public hearings in two stages. The first stage was used to gather evidence and information. The second stage was held after the commission had conducted its own research. The purpose of this second stage was to canvass information gathered during the research of the commission. And in order to comply with legal requirements, as the legal opinion we got is that the commission is a quasi-judicial body. In order to comply with legal requirements, the commission has to conduct the second stage of the hearing as a full complete. And this was very difficult to achieve, because it was not always that the members of the commission were available at the same time for a hearing. Also, what our investigations entail, the Royal House identified was furnished with a set of questions arising from the research of the commission. The paramountcy identified was expected to respond specifically to the said questions at the hearing. During both stages of the hearing, the procedure adopted was as follows. Public hearing in which selected members of the royal houses and others appointed by them testified under oath and referred the commission to supplementary research material. This was followed by an opportunity for commissioners to raise questions and seek clarity from the presenter. Interested parties were afforded an opportunity to challenge the version of the royal house and state their case. Members of the public were permitted to pose questions to the presenters and make comments. I might also add that at these public hearings, the parties are entitled to legal representation. And there is no way you can force the case of the hearing with legal representation. Always maintaining that the justice or has to be seen to be done. The next issue, out of a total of 971 claims received by the commission, slightly more than 160 shall have been investigated and determinations issued on them by the end of the term of the commission. You see, out of 971, slightly more than 160 shall be investigated and determinations issued on them by the end of the term of the commission, 30th October 2009. Obviously, if the commission has to do more, it will need more time. At the projected pace of 100 investigations per annum, If the term of the commission is extended by a further 3 years, and I say if, because that is a decision to be taken by our principals and parliament, the likelihood of completing investigations and issuing determinations on more than 500 cases by the end of March 2013 is not a remote possibility. And the 500 excludes the 12 parliaments and what the commission has almost completed thus far. We are coming to that. Since the commission has now in place more strategic and synthesized modes of operation, most of the claims are likely to be dealt with without subjecting them to an elaborate investigation procedure that entail a setting them down for hearing. I'm sorry, Deputy. Why I say we may deal with them without setting them down for hearing, I say this in the light of the provision of Section 25C of the Act, which stipulates that the Commission may refuse to consider a dispute or claim on the grounds that the person who lodged the dispute or claim has not provided the Commission with relevant or sufficient information, or the dispute is to be dealt with in terms of Section 21, subsection 1A, in case where Section 21B does not apply. Consequently, I'll go to the section 21, 1A. Whenever a dispute concerning customary law or custom arises within a traditional community, or between traditional communities or other customary institutions, on a matter arising from the implementation of this Act, members of such a community and traditional leaders within the traditional community or customary institution concerned must seek to resolve the dispute internally and in accordance with customs. So these are the issues that are not automatically referred to the Commission. And then 21.1b. Where a dispute envisaged in paragraph A relates to a gay case that must be investigated by the Commission in terms of Section 25.2, the dispute must be referred to the Commission and paragraph A does not apply. So this separates matters that may be dealt with internally and those that should be referred to the Commission. May I proceed? Yes. Thank you very much. Even though the Commission is under no illusion that it will ever be able to address all traditional leadership disputes at any stage, it however contends that it could be afforded the opportunity to make a meaningful contribution towards the decentralization and setting up of a more sustainable dispute resolution mechanism within the institution of traditional leadership. The Commission has evaluated all the outstanding ways. It has also taken into account the outstanding court challenges. The Commission is also of the view that perhaps the Commission route is one of the best mechanisms for handling not only the matters which are already the subject of investigation, but also those which the Commission is still investigating. Taking into account the volume of the work still to be attended to, as I already indicated, it is the Commission's view that perhaps if the principal finds this feasible, the Commission's term could be extended up to the end of the 2012-13 financial year. And the last issue on my presentation, how many claims are issued? The mandate of the Commission extends over the following matters which must be investigated by the Commission. 12 existing pharmacies, 10 kinship disputes, 64 new kinship claims, and 698 senior traditional leadership claims and disputes, 59 headmanship claims and disputes, 20 recognition as traditional community claims, and 54 boundary disputes. I must also point out that the situation remains extremely fluid, because in terms of the Act, we do not have a cut-off date for the lodging of claims and disputes. So as I speak now, these figures might have changed, and the likelihood is that they might have defeat, not a defeat. I hope, Honorable Chair, I have responded on behalf of the Commission to the four questions posed by the Honorable Portfolio Committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Honorable President. Members will ask questions when we deal with the rest of the day.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, and other guests here present. The Commission understands that we are a creature of the statute, and as such, we have been created by Parliament. So we were a bit fearful when we were called upon to make any input that we may would like to make. And we asked ourselves whether we will not be treading here on uncharted ground. The prophet Isaiah says, "Woe to him who strives with his maker, a worthless people, broken pottery, among other pieces, worthless. Shall the clay say to him who fashions it, what do you think you are making? Or your work has no handle?" Therefore, we were quite fearful of coming here to criticize the proposed amendments, because we did not want to find ourselves in this position of the clay and the potter. Honorable Chair, this our input does not seek to aggrandize our position. We are well aware of the position of all, but we seek to humbly place before you what we believe are pertinent issues in the process, in this process. We would like to place before the Honourable Committee and the Honourable Members the impact the envisaged amendments will have on our activities as the Commission. As the Commission, we do not feel qualified to comment on the proposed amendment bill for the National House of Traditional Leaders. We felt that we may comment on the proposed amendment to the traditional leadership and framework act. And even then, our contribution would be limited to certain areas. Of concern in the proposed amendment to the Commission is clause 2 of the proposed amendment and clause 2A thereof. If members have that before them, in particular the subheading on page 4 of the amendment. Is that before you, Honourable Chairman? The proposal here is that is the subheading recognition of changes. The proposal is that there should be inserted after section 2 of the Act the following. 2A subsection 1, a number of traditional communities grouped together in terms of custom and customary law may be recognized as a kingship if they are recognized as such in terms of the Act and applicable provincial legislation. B, each have a recognized traditional council with a defined area of jurisdiction in terms of the Act and applicable provincial legislation. C, each has a senior traditional leader recognized in terms of the Act and applicable provincial legislation. And D, recognized senior traditional leader who is a higher status than the other senior traditional leaders in terms of custom and customary law as their king or queen. E, recognize themselves as a distinct group of traditional communities from all other traditional communities. And F, as a system of traditional leadership at a kingship level recognized by other traditional communities. This list here to us raised a number of issues. The question is, it's not clear whether the criteria should all be met or whether it is sufficient to meet one of the listing here. A bigger question and really the government of the issue for the Commission is that the criteria set out here seem to move away from what we understand to be traditional leadership. We have based our determinations, which my chairperson alluded to, on the historical path. We have determined that a kingship emerges along the path of historical development under circumstances peculiar to that time. It is, in our humble view, nigh impossible to envisage those circumstances playing themselves out today. We have stated clearly in our determination what or how a kingship emerges. And in so doing, we were guided by the Act. The chapter in all the determinations which were issued in March, and I think which will be applicable to all claims on kingship, is entitled Analysis of Issues. And this is what the Commission understands a kingship. This is how a kingship, in the understanding of the Commission, develops. The title reads Analysis of Issues. In pursuit of uniformity in the Republic, as envisaged by the Framework Act, the Commission takes cognizance of the following principles. A. The establishment of an independently traditional community under one leader. B. welding together diverse cultural and linguistic elements or communities, each with its own recognizable traditional leader under one principal traditional leader. See, the community should not have lost its independence through indigenous political processes which resolved themselves during the centuries before colonial intrusion. B, the principal traditional leader should rule over the entire community with linguistic and cultural affinity rather than a section thereof. And in this regard, we would like to really place emphasis on linguistic and cultural affinity when determining how or why a kinship develops. It is upon these crucial principles that our decisions are based. It is our humble view that the proposed amendment goes against the grain of these principles. In our determinations, we are focusing on the historical thread running through the development of community. The amendment shifts from this to, if you satisfy 1, 2, 3, you are king. This type of criteria, in its most basic form, can lead to electioneering, canvassing, or campaigning by the traditional leader of higher status, which higher status is not defined here, and we have not, I guess maybe somebody will be able to explain to us what is meant by a traditional leader of higher status. But it opens a whole host of avenues which are unpalatable and which do not accord at all with what traditional leadership is about. The term traditional leader means just that. The institution itself must be steeped in tradition. The proposed amendment shifts the goalposts. It is most unfortunate that the amendment was proposed after we have issued our determination. If it is indeed the attitude of the legislature that we shift our focus, then the honorable members should be aware of the consequences. The effect of the amendment is that we will have two tiers of kingship. That is, those recognized under the Framework Act as it is now, and those that are recognized under the proposed amendment bill. Now the question is, which will prevail? Uniformity will no doubt be hampered by this new process. This, in fact, this amendment, as we see it, encourages cessation. We as a commission envisage a situation where there will be much forming of kinship. Persons of higher status claiming seniority and thereby making application for kinship. The question will then be, what then is a traditional community? There is a need to look at communities holistically and not piecemeal. The linguistic elements, customary law, and customs are of paramount importance. And as we see these clauses, indeed, they all go totally against the grain. Of concern is the notion that there should be an application by the traditional community. That also is foreign to traditional affairs. A community should be able to come forth and state a claim, and claim what rightfully belongs to it, and there should be no application. This we believe is reminiscent of the apartheid era, and again goes totally against the grain of the understanding of the commission as to what traditional leadership is and what it is about. It is most unfortunate indeed that these amendments, again, I say, came out after we had already issued our determination. we are also concerned in that. We are also concerned in that we too had proposed our own amendments, and in those amendments we had sought to fast track the process and our processes in which we work to enable us to determine our own procedure and to make provision for the appointment of a chairperson and a deputy chairperson. And we don't see them, we don't see any of our proposed amendments as a commission in this, in these proposed amendments. Besides, as it may, we are also concerned with clause 2.5, where there is a suggestion, I beg your pardon, subsection clause 2A3. Where there is a suggestion that there should be an application made, and that will be coupled by an appointment. Again, we say this is terminology foreign to our understanding of tradition, of customary law, and custom. This to us seems to be taking us back to the apartheid era and homeland era, where applications were made for positions and appointments were made in turn, depending on the whim, obviously, of the person making the appointment. We are also concerned by, I said, section 2A3. The section also reads as follows. Maybe I should just read it out, Chair, Honorable Chair, so that you may follow. The President may, by notice in the Gazette, after consultation with the relevant Premier, the Provincial House of Traditional Leaders in the relevant province, the National House of Traditional Leaders, and the Senior Traditional Leaders of Traditional Communities who fall under the kingship being applied for, recognize a kingship envisaged in subsections 1 and 2 as a kingship. It goes on to make reference to a consultative process by which all this will be done. It is our earnest view that this then moves away from transparency. Our chairperson outlines the procedures which we undergo when making a decision on a kingship. The procedures we believe are transparent and they are open and all parties are heard. There is a fear that in this consultative process, the rules of natural justice will not be followed. That in the end, the validity or the claim for kingship will be placed in the court, because inevitably, once a decision is made in what we see as a very close involving a limited number of participants, this is the President who may delegate to the minister, and the minister, of course, will delegate to somebody else. That process will be, the process then of creating or recognizing a kingship will then be limited to a select few. And as we read this now, we do not, with the greatest respect, see any transparency in this process, and fear that in the end it will be the court to determine who is the king and who isn't, and what is the kingship, what constitutes the kingship within our traditional leadership. Now, there's also a concept of the role of kingship. This, we believe as well, Honorable Chair, is foreign to our processes, that a kingship may be withdrawn. And again, seems to the Commission to be a form of tampering with the sociological makeup. In traditional leadership affairs, one understands where it is the individual team who perhaps is suspended or removed. But to meet out what seems to be punitive, because this is the prima facie view, it is not clear here that when a team should be withdrawn, it is for purposes of, it is punitive in any way. But our prima facie view is that this is punitive and seems to punish the whole society and the whole community. And this really is unpalatable.
There's a relevant through definition of the chair. There's a relevant section of withdrawal is on page 5. That is now 285. The withdrawal of the recognition of a community as a kinship, as provided for in this act, may only be considered where A, the majority of traditional communities under the discipline of the kinship consent request the president that the recognition of the kinship be withdrawn. So this is now a game of a number. B, the president for good cause shown and after conducting an investigation determines that the withdrawal of such a kinship is necessary. That is the relevant section. As my colleague says, the withdrawal of a kinship is unheard of, as it emerges through a sociological process. Now we are introducing engineering into the institution of traditional leadership. But Chair, as we said, We are not here to point out the direction the amendment should be. We are simply expressing a view on how the envisaged amendments are likely to impact on the operations of the commission. But the decision still lies with
your passport.
We are not here to direct the decision of the legislature. We are simply expressing a view on how these envisaged amendments will impact on our work. We must confess that if these amendments, as they stand, become law, then most of the work we shall have done will become nothing, because it will be challenged through these new amendments. So the ballgame will be different from what it has been in terms of the existing effect. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I don't understand why the Commission opposed that. And we invited him to come and make this. I'm just saying that I find it strange. This is a democratic country. That's the first point of it. The second one is that we invited input as the parliamentary committee that we have received two bills, and we invite interested parties to submit submissions to us. Don't remember seeing your. Now, that too is a problem. In other words, that if in the first round of consultation we had an opportunity to make an input as an advocate, and the authority said we did, and we don't see the effect in the thing, nothing prevented you from submitting the letter to us as well. Because you seem to be making important points that which we'll discuss and take on. That's the point I wanted to make. Remember, you may now ask questions. But let me start with one, which is about one of the questions asked about in the event, what happened to the post-teams. whether it is legitimate to say there is any possibility to improve. The apartheid, the codes close to people. This is what we are asking. What happened to them? So when you contest that there may well be people, whether people are imposed or not, I don't understand. What is the point? I thought that part of the story of this parliament, so the emergence of parliament is for some people who are felt not to be seen, that others were created. So the two results we deal with is
honourable members, chairperson of the commission and the delegation to the table and gentlemen. First of all, the chair, I think, thank the commission for making this presentation. How I hope it is invited so that we can take this one. Because I think indeed, a very valuable information. I think that we need to take consideration of the process in the field of finality. I may indicate, Chair, that we have conducted some debate and he has seen, because after he assumed the leadership, we can be actually finalizing and transforming the institution of traditional leadership in the country, which is direction. And I may say I had an occasion to actually see how they are dealing with this matter, and I was impressed. I think the manner in which they are dealing with this matter, according to the able of the really did their views on this difficult task that they are facing. And also, I had an occasion to see the invest all the nations throughout the country, which is that everybody, even the methodology, the way they have written is very clear. And I think it's very classic and user friendly. But the question, Chair, that I had, and that the opposition, which is really their comment, first of all, I noticed that some of the traditional leaders, these are traditional leaders who were paramount, during the course of your investigation, they passed on. Even before you could finalize some of them. I think Mpumalanga is in point, what caused me to pose this question is that we were made to understand that after submission by one of the paramount chief kings, he passed on. Of course, that before I met him. I don't know what caused that, what caused the worry. What is maybe the cause of this? And similarly, after the outcome, we were told that one was sick, that we go to hospital. If I didn't see them, I would have that in mind, but I saw them and they are really good friends. Those are the kind, because in the thing, what the department is saying, among the things that need to be corrected, is that they say, nobody is there, I'm agreeing with them, but they say, that is the right result of the passing on of now. Then, without the need, it's the bill. They are unable to submitted through the Department protocol consultation process. I do have here for us a program of consultation process. It was reported on the 18th of June 2008 that the Bedwood invoked that commission of traditional electricity and things were prepared. And the meeting commission was it the last. And could you also provide us with a copy of that submission, which you say it has not been dealt with? And I'm sure later on, I think the department is actually also linked to us to face it, and why the suggestion from the commission.
Thank you, Chair. I thought that we, with our work, is going to make it easier for the Commission to determine who should be recognised or not, but they are saying no, we make it more difficult. Because we're trying to give a legal basis to do your work, and that is challenging. I would just like to ask two questions. You said that you also are only making recommendations to the President, and then it's out of your hands for recognition and so on. Now, and you're afraid that things might end up in the courts, as we are proposing, but who must decide in the final analysis the problem that we are faced with as lawmakers, that we must write law to be exact, that there can be some sort of a decision made, and I don't have clarity on this issue. Who would you see, who would you like to see to make the final decision? And then the second question is about the withdrawal of recognitions. Did the Commission itself make such recommendations up to now? Weren't you also faced by that problem? I mean, we're referring to apartheid, who created positions. And isn't this also a necessary element that we have to put in the legislation? And as I say, haven't you also came across it, and how did you deal with it, and or how would you propose that we should deal with it? Thank you very much.
I think it is in my view to find small and significant on the withdrawal of from a common point of view, the question of the goal of kingship, some of us started to hear it after the establishment of the commission. Now one would want to know if the dean is talking about withdrawal when in the practical experience we had it from the commission. What is the correlation between these two activities and understanding? I'm saying from the common point of view, understanding that things is not something that we go to the shop and buy. So I'm sure we would want to be elaborated on that aspect.
Are you suggesting that you hear them talk about withdrawal, the commission?
chairperson.
I'm not quite sure, but the commission perhaps would relate to the committee about the situation power call, especially when they talk of the linguistic affinity. I think it invites more input. I wouldn't know about now, those are the things that we would want to know.
Right. Let me impose this. I know you wait at the station honor this common thing of yours. I want to impose this question. That by implication, your work may lead to the withdrawal of Arano. Not that you said you didn't, but by implication, when you have determined this mandate that you have, one of the consequences of that is to withdraw what was granted illegitimate. This is partly the question Roman is asking. When you have determined who is legitimate in that and who is not, what is the process you suggest to follow in the election? And if you think that might be in the legislation, the department, and that's how we propose it, not to just people understand the question. So that's what we are thinking about.
I go for the area to cover the ground that will be covered by the honorable members. First of all, the question of the proposed
is on
the question of proposed scheme. Honorable chair, I suggest that I provide the commission's interpretation of section 28.7. Because that is where the gist lies. In terms of 28.7, the commission must. We have no duty. We are instructed to. And we are instructed to do this in terms of section 25.2. And some of the clauses in the...
Let's not speak like lawyers.
we are instructed.
This section,
yes. This section 25.2, among other states, getting there. 25.2, the commission has authority to investigate either on request or of its own accord a case where there is doubt as to whether a kinship, senior traditional leadership, or headmanship was established in accordance with customary law and custom. A case where there is doubt. And this 28.7 goes on to say we should investigate in terms of that session. We must. The position of paramount and paramount chief that had been established and recognized and which were still in existence and recognized. And this we must do before commencing with any other investigation in terms of this fact. Now, our understanding is investigate means finding the truth about. And that truth is about the position of these existing terms. Now, yes.
In other words, you are telling us that your job
it's investigated.
And then to report that this
petition, you can raise our decision.
Yes.
And now this comes to another question asked.
Yes.
As to whether we recommend or we decide. In terms of section 26, the commission takes a decision. And this decision is for implementation. How it is to be implemented, that now falls outside the mandate of the commission. So, again now, in answer to the question as to what happened to the paramountry that has not been found to be kinship, that is now for the legislature to decide. But our job is to investigate further, to find out in terms of the Act, that is in terms of Section 8, which provides for only three positions. It's kinship, senior traditional leadership, and headmanship or headmanship. Now that these paramounties have been found not to be kinship, in terms of customary law and customs, what are they? Are they senior traditional leadership, or are they headmanship, or are they outside the scope of the Act? That is our mandate. So this position, we are forced to investigate. And in investigating, now we rely on the people we call in for hearing. And then another question before I get to the next question. Thank you, Chief Nongoyan and Coach Nongoyan, for the kind words you put in for the commission. Your question was some of the traditional leaders passed on more often than not before the determinations were issued. What could be the cause? We have to be honest with honorable members. This is a traumatic experience. We too, we don't enjoy doing. If one had been there at the Kopano when we released the determination, I did it, but I didn't like it. It's a job that is better left undone than that. Because to tell someone that you are not a kinship is a traumatic. When for the rest of his life, the person has been going through life, understanding and believing that I am Umkhandi. But now applying the Act to the letter forces us to find the contrast is a traumatic experience. It's psychologically affecting, even physically, it can be devastating. That we must work. But as to what measures are put in place for the parties to absorb the shock, that is another measure. But we wish there were mechanisms put in place for soft landing. If the Act, our interpretation is correct, there will need to be mechanisms for soft landing after falling from the position of a great income. Then there was a question of what should happen after the death of the claimant. We are in a bit of a predicament, because if we are investigating the position of paramount, and the position of paramountcy in terms of the Act no longer exists, the question is, in which capacity is the successor to be appointed? I mean, to recognize officially by government. Because the successor cannot recognize officially as a paramountcy, because the position of paramountcy does not exist. And the successor cannot be recognized officially as king, because the commission has not as yet determined as whether the king or not. This is a sticky area. But if one were to be guided by 28.1, transitional arrangement, which stipulates that a paramountcy existing now should be deemed to have been appointed in terms of this new act until the commission decides otherwise. I think that is the route to go. That they fall under transitional arrangement
until the commission has decided otherwise. But that would be our response. Then, also, the question of, I think I've addressed it, the question of a recommendation, that the commission, in terms of the act, does not make recommendations, but it takes decisions. Then also, the question of withdrawal, in our understanding, is not withdrawal as such, because in terms of the act, the legal situation is that kingship and kings do not exist. Therefore, we cannot withdraw something that has already existed. We simply have to investigate and confirm as to whether the positions of existing harmonies are indeed synonymous with those of kingship as envisioned in the act. And to do so, we have to investigate. The operative way is to investigate. So that is why we say, if now we are going to be subjected to the new rules of how now to consider the application for kingship, then it changes the whole thing. We are not saying we should not go that way, but we are simply saying that the way we operate is going to have to change. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. We can also maybe thank the Commission for their submission.
Welcome.
Thanks very much, Chair. I appreciate it. Now, because the Commission, Chairperson, assumes that maybe they'll correct a lot of wrongs that we have observed since we were still young. And moreover that we didn't have a lot of say before, so now that we've got the opportunity, it seems as if we've got very much to say, maybe from what we were advised from before. My first question would be, Chairperson, about the headmanship. I have my sister keep on shock, Chairperson, they are not good. I keep on shock, they are not good. I don't know the kingship you are born, it's in the blood. But now, headmanship, where does it come from? And how do we handle it as generations go and go and go? My husband is a headman, he dies. Does my son or myself take over, or does the community elect another shepherd, another headman, re-elected, reborn? That is my first question, Chairperson. And my second question, Chairperson, will be on the municipal side. Because where we are staying, we stay in little different villages, where we've got headmen in different villages, and every village has got a headman. Now, the local government has amalgamated some of those villages into one ward. Now, how many headmen are there in one ward? Actually, in between them, who will be dealing directly? Maybe with the mayor or the councillor in the ward?
Chair, honourable members, again, once more thanks for the response from the Commission. And mine is follow up with the result of their response to the question that has been posed. I think the first one, I understand that there's no kingship in terms of this country. I've never been under the impression that the king of Amazon, for instance, was the king of the country. I understood them to say no, that was maybe an impression that in fact they were all of Amazon. That was it, so that I'm second one, I hear that yes, the question of that session, somebody who's participating is the paramount, may be provided for in terms of the transitional arrangement. Is that not logical? That in the shoes that they, if then the claim is still being questioned, I mean the son or whatever, that depends on the country, that in the shoes of the accused or withdrawn, that he or she is pleased, then one would say, what would be the problem if for the department or any or whatever to continue to remember that clearly understanding that until there is a determination by the commission. I hear they have made this point, because they are making also the point that my understanding was not that clear whether it is really a problem. Now you say you assist with this issue. Who are they then? I think you are somewhat covered, but what concerns or confuses me is that initially understood you to say, well, you are investigating this matter. Who are they? But now you are saying, which of course is an operation in this, you're not telling me this within a case of standards, as I understand it, that you are aware that there are three runs, partnership, international leadership, and then but you seem to investigate so that if they then don't follow, if they then don't fall within those three categories, you will therefore have to recommend, yet the money is understanding for you to die. That's confusing me somewhat. In view of the point of fact that there is a white paper, and the framework, of course, act was actually based on the white paper, which was as a direct result of wide consultation process. And in case there is going to be another time. As I see, is that some of the parliament where the right hand great house from a certain era, and as I see it, you will find that there's been right hand out, great hand out even before them. And I think these are the other matters that will investigate the pronouncement on, but it's very difficult to matter. So in other words, when you determine that run, that's my question, are you going to determine whether even for prior generation there is a need to compare them as a group or some sort of tactics or something, I don't know, whatever spray of physiology you can come up with, that's all check.
The first question relating to headmanship. Chair, I must confess that now that we are creatures of statute, we will always resort to the act to respond to questions.
And in terms of Section 11 of the Act, that is based on the headmanship or headwomanship, Section 11.1. Whenever the position of senior traditional leader, headman or headwoman is to be filled, the royal family concerned must, within a reasonable time after the need arises for any of those positions to be filled, and with due regard for applicable customary law, identify a person who qualifies in terms of customary law to assume the position of president. So in terms of the Act, this is also underpinned by customary law. As to whether this is uniform in all traditional communities, we cannot vouch for that for now. That brings me now to the other question as to why a further investigation into the position of existing paramountcy. We were investigating the paramountcy from a point of departure that this paramountcy could be a kinship. All the criteria we were looking for and applying were those criteria relating to kinship. But now that we have determined them not to be kinship, the question that arises is, what are they? And as to what they are, it is only the criteria now relating to senior traditional leadership as well as headmanship which will assist us in determining what their position is. We cannot automatically say, now that you are not of kinship status, you are of senior traditional leadership leader. Because there are issues to be addressed. What is the history of your traditional leadership? How did it emerge? And how was it established? So that the commission is able to determine as to whether it was established as a senior traditional leadership or as a headmanship, because definitely we have already determined that it was not established as a kinship. Another question is, locate yourself within the genome of the entire family. Are you really the rightful incumbent for this position? Let's say now, the position you are occupying should be that of senior traditional leader, but are you the rightful incumbent? And we can only determine as to whether we are the rightful incumbent if we know the genealogy. We locate ourselves within the metrics of the genealogy. Then also the issue of whether headmanship is inherited. Our preliminary investigation indicates that in some communities, headmanship is not hereditary. As a headman, you are simply appointed. But at times, from the time of appointment, headmanship becomes hereditary within your family life. But it does not mean that you are of the same status as those of royal blood. That is the distinction. Then the issue of the King of Amazulu. We had a debate before we tackled the AmaZulu traditional leadership in terms of paramountcy, because we were aware that he has been referred to as king, and yet in terms of statute, he was a paramountcy, and we did convey this to him when we released the results at the Obanon Conference Center. What happens is that in terms of the Act of Wazulu, he was referred to as head of the Amazon Kingdom, and he was designated as Isilo or King. So we do not see that King as synonymous with scheme as it is articulated in the statute. Hence, we have to investigate the paramountry of Amazon, and we did the result. And in the same breath, we did convey to him that he has not been confirmed as king. He is also to be subjected to the same process of verifying as whether he is the rightful incumbent, and he has accepted that he started to further investigation. Then the issue of a successor. From the commission side, I don't think we will see anything in conflict with the act, because it provides for interim measures. If someone were to step into the shoes of the deceased, and the only issue is that that someone, if there were to be any challenge to his position, should also be prepared to be subjected to the same scrutiny as the incumbent, as whether he is the rightful successor. Then also the question of the king and the paramountry. In terms of the act, the commission makes decisions and not recommendations. That is why the commission can be taken to court, because it is a quasi-judicial body, and it has taken the decisions for which it should be accountable, it should be answerable. That is why even in our operation, we have to be very careful that we operate in terms of the law, within the principles of the law. So it is decision, not a recommendation. So the issue about the conveying decisions to the presidency is not so much the process of consultation, but it is the route our decision has to go. It has to be conveyed to the president. The president now, in terms of the act, has to see as to what to do with the decision. He's guided by the act. Then the issue of paramount is who belongs to the right hand and so on. As to whether now we are going to go right back. Our view, I think this has come out clearly in our determination. We are not saying that succession to kingship has always been as smooth as all that. It is fraught with irregularities. At times, the sitting king was thrown out through violent means. But all what we are saying is that violent means were part and parcel of how succession to the throne was determined then. And if you got in through means that are violent, but which were not frowned upon in terms of customary law, then your succession to the throne is legitimate. So we are not saying you can only succeed if you are the rightful born son of so, but there will have been deviations, and those deviations are acknowledged.
If I may just add a question rather outside the member, just moving on about what happens to the those paramounts which have been said not to be kingship. What happens if they fall outside of the place here of what is the position today? I think the answer there is if you are not a headman, you fall out. The commission does not have the authority to aid. You are a member of the Rapunzel indeed, and the commission has no authority to create another chair for the paramount. Thank you.
My friend dear Rose. The question about counselor, who is who in the world? The question you asked, the last question,
yeah.
In a village, this that have been grouped together in a single word, who is who? That was your question.
But I suppose maybe
because the follow-up with the chief non-gonyana, if maybe my question will be out of the area of jurisdiction for the commission.
No.
As I have said before, that as things come up, we can see a lot of wrongs where we are staying, according to what has been said or what has been said before. You know, this thing of headmanship. Another village does this, another village does that, another area does that. Why can't it be one finite thing, uniformity, of saying this is what governs the headman? Not that I must have my own something there, she must have their own something there, and he must have his own something there. It means those people are just working out of what they think. That's my first point, Chairperson. The other one, Chair, is about the inheritance. See? If I were to inherit my husband's headmanship, then the community will say, no, we want to elect an independent somebody, because we grew up knowing that headmanship is not inherited. But nowadays, they are inheriting it. Now, I would like to ask if there's a clear, as Chief has been indicating, as Chairperson has been indicating, that I refer to Blessed and say, is there a finite clause that says yes or no? Because in some villages, Chairperson, in some area, let me say an area. Let me make an example. An area called Kuching. You'll find that in Kuching there are three paramount chiefs. I don't say Kuching. Yeah. I'm making an example. Kuching has. Yes, what is one thing? People Kuching, Chairperson. Okay, let me put it clear that Chairperson is a good guy, don't you? Let me put down the Chairperson. There are three paramount chiefs.
Three.
Yeah. And these people, but they claim to be our captain. Now, what confuses me is that when I was cutting back my head, when I was cutting back a mutiny, and when I was cutting back a long good one, three were cutting, and they put three paramount chiefs. See? Now, the last question will be, do I have a right as a resident to can say to the commission, they don't choose the Roma Catholic? Because my whole year, they are busy fighting, they are waiting just to fight, and not to help us, traditionally. Thank you, Chair.
Although the first one, I suspect that advocate for about uniformity that and will not be traditional across all the country.
May I indicate, Chairperson, that in terms of section 25.2b of the Act, a dispute or claim may be lodged by any person and must be accompanied by information setting out the nature of the dispute or claim and any other relevant information. So any person may submit a claim for a dispute. I'll leave the part on an informity to my fellow commissioners.
Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. So indeed, that is the mandate of the Commission, to pursue uniformity within the public, in the institution of traditional leadership as a whole. Therefore, once we get to deal with the headmanship team, we shall attempt as much as we can to ensure that there is a semblance of uniformity. At present, it says there are over how many claims of headmanship, and I think that is the largest part of our work that we do in this age. We will undertake, but although, as my chairperson has said, we took instructions from, we undertook some research, we have discovered indeed that there is no clear criteria for the appointment of headmen, and I must confess the challenge which we will have to face in the commission. We have to date 69 headmanship claims in the system, and we believe that that is going to take a lot of work. Thank you.
You having a what you call it, any attempt to move forward, absolutely trouble. I can say this from yes. Historically, there's never been uniform. So you yourself would be guilty of creating something. Of course, now you're entering into that point. Of course, no question of the gentleman. Of course, I come up with a wrong game now. Who speak all the 11 languages, nine of them. So members, the presentation of the commission is before us, and obviously raised some of the questions, and of course we thank them for their input, and as members said that we hope we get that to light yesterday, so that in considering the 8 hours that we have, we will be mindful of the submission that we get for us when we look at the legislation for us. We needed to hear the commission on its broad outline, and we hear you are asking that your mandate be extended to 2012, 2018, given possible and so on, because of the nature of the work that has been part of the difficulties of your the membership of the nature of the task you're dealing with, it seems to be this. Well, what you are raising as issues that motivate your requirement today, there is urgency, but also the time during which this is happening is also of particular significance to the work that Parliament has to deal with. And so those issues will be what is considered by including recommendations for policy work and so on. In our own discussions, we may want to reflect on some of those issues in the report of the committee. We will discuss that as a committee and then we'll hear what we must say about what recommendations and recommendations have to do when we do come to that. Members, let's have a few breaks.
Guidance from the Honourable Chair, are we in the Commission?
We are making a proposal of what you must do from now on.
Yes, the third
is and then let me can do it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Say that as we anticipate the report of the Commission's report as a theory on the legislation. And so what we are agreeing, what we are suggesting, I hope members will agree with, is that we again now allow the Department and the Commission to consider the clauses that they are having problems with and come back to us with a proposal on how they propose to deal with it. And then we will take a view on those. We are suggesting that we reconvene. The time stays we are meeting from 9 to 16 hours. So what we will do, members, we will give you a little time to go to your administration in your office. Come back at 1 so that we have our finger lunch. And then we reconvene at 2 o'clock to hear what progress has been made on the rest of the SOC. Is that okay, members?
Yes.
Yes. In front, next to the venue. Where the key?
I'll finalize some things. I think Shabbatana somewhere in this key shipping, there is where they violate our rights, Tina, as the young wife children. Because this key shipping, what she is always inherited by the senior wife children. Now, can they, when concluding this thing, please try and place us somewhere, particularly somewhere? My mother is okay, it's the chief swimmer in one, but her children are left out.
Indeed, we did meet resolve that in the interest of Kai, that they should submit overall, meet as a commission, and submit early in the morning, in writing, and in black and white, what they think the amendment should entail and should improve. That's what we do.
Thank you very much, Prof. That is what the chairperson did convey to me. But chairperson did raise the issue of Tanzania as yet. And me and him agreed. I thought that that was an understanding when we actually gave both of you this concession, that you must have changed full track. Either in the course of night, with a view that at least the draft committee when the committee resumes tomorrow, because we don't want to come here and then the commission says this is our proposed formulation, and then you want also to contract, because we don't have luxury of time. That is what has been conveyed to me, and I'm sure from a few attrition. But circumstances you have got touch and pray.
Thank you, sir. We did tell them that but they raised the issue that they were not representatives of the commission that they were, that they needed the little time they had to consult with fellow members of the commission. And so, as I said, in the interest of time, and we're not making any headway, we would have loved that they should come here and make a presentation to you in person. But again, as I said, they raised the issue now that there were the only two of them, and they were not representative of the commission. And so we were forced to fall back on what they had suggested, that they should go home. But knowing very well the limitations of time, that they will try to refresh or their recommendation as soon as possible to the commission. That faith accompany that really confronted us when we met them. Honorable Sunter.
The issue here is that tomorrow we need to be working tomorrow. So if anything doesn't happen,
the mic.
Changing the people. if nothing happens from now till tomorrow, then we will leave with what we have. It would be an unfortunate situation if people wanted to make a submission, they are not able to. But tomorrow we must. It's not a question of we may be voting on the bill. We must vote on the bill tomorrow and disclose the truth. Mine would be Jefferson, to ask the department, because it is incumbent on you that the commission does comply. Tonight, exchange notes. Come tomorrow, there's a version of combining the views that we need to be voting on. How would that be?
Yes.
Thank you. Chairperson, we did explain to the Commission that this bill had to be finalised tomorrow. It's the last opportunity to keep it. The schedule to be discussed in National Assembly on the 20th. They understand that. They have ever explained to us that the Commission is scheduled to meet, the full Commission. It's got a scheduled meeting tomorrow morning at 9. They undertook to come back to us during the course after 9 o'clock tomorrow with a concrete proposal. And that's the last meeting. There's a lot of arrangements we have for them.
Well, may I indicate that on the face of it, to me, I don't understand in the sense that the impression given to all of us when the Commission was making a presentation was that what they were submitting to the committee come from the Commission and not from an individual. That fortunately, that submission was heard by all of us, including you, department. All we want to say, consider that an advisor accordingly. Are the fears raised by the Commission not catered for in that? Or can we improve the draft article of the bill to cater for their conduct? That's all what we want. And we're giving you an opportunity to change. And we've listened to them. I think all of us will hear them. But we're not going to wait. I'm sorry that they meet at 9 o'clock tomorrow. Please convey that to them. Immediately we're changing that indeed it is important to tell you that we've listened to them. And we have learned that they must have changed the draft with you. And the spending in which we have started to work on also to apply our mind to what they have said to us. And then by tomorrow, when we resume, let there be a formulation. Yes, sir.
Chair, the unfortunate part of the situation, Chair, is that the consultations that we did as a department before the bill could be published for public comment in 30 days, we invited the Commission and was represented by their CEO, and they did not make any particular representation in that opportunity. Again, when the bills were published, we had these series of consultation meetings now with all traditional leaders and all stakeholders. We met with organizations like Contralesa, the other commissions, and this commission in that meeting in Bedford. The CEO was there. He did not make any particular representation. And again, the portfolio committee, when the bill was submitted to the portfolio committee, another opportunity was open for all interested parties to make representations. The Commission did not make any presentation. And this question was asked today by the Portfolio Committee to the Commission, why they did not make representations. And that question was not answered. So I think, again, this opportunity is being created for the Commission now to give comments. And they are not able to do that. When we met right now with them, just about an hour ago, we wanted to know the particular areas where they have problems. And they talked about, for instance, customary law and the history of communities, things that are already covered in the bill sufficiently. Now, I don't know. We will undertake here to communicate the decision of the Commission of the Portfolio Committee right now to say we must do something between now and tomorrow 10 o'clock in terms of now harmonizing the position. But I don't know. They have told us they are only meeting at 9, to give a comment by, between 11 and 12, which is not acceptable. But we will try, Chair, to talk to them and say we need to have harmonized the position before 10 o'clock tomorrow, when the meeting reconvenes here.
Prof, just to add on to what has been said by my colleague, the impression we got was that they had little understanding of the whole act during the bill. But we wanted them to present what they were talking about to the committee, so that the committee could decide what they have said. Otherwise,
on talking to them, as my colleague correctly stated. There was nothing, what they were talking about had been included, and we found that it was based on the little understanding that they had of the commission. But we didn't want to say that. We wanted them to make this presentation so that the committee on its own could decide whether there was any need to have additions. Others on our own, it's not a question of being strong yet, we covered even more what they were initially complaining about.
No, Prof. has covered me, Chair, but the just one issue that I wanted to clarify, that the chairperson made it clear to them before they left that whatever is going to be happening, it must be here by the time the meeting is starting. So which means if the meeting starts at 10 tomorrow, we must have everything here. Yeah, that's the message they got when they were leaving here now. So I'm trying to say the fears of time in terms of 11 o'clock and 12 o'clock, that has been addressed with the... Chairperson, thank you very much. I think perhaps we left a lot to the commission to take us to a different end, I must say. Because the brief in the letter was in a sort of a ballot question way. But they came here to give us the history of the commission and all that. We wanted to know that the deal is at this stage. What is the next step? Simple question. What is going to happen to the deposed king? Because they know that they are deposed king. And I am sure we are in this predicament now because of the last question. Anything that will assist the committee in relation to this deal. And then I think their contributions here questions every process that we've got through, which is a bit unfair. But be that as it may, as you were saying, Sebastian, based on the input that was made here, and when the input was made, it was not declared to the committee that the input is an informal input. We wouldn't have taken that input to the length that we took it, had it been said to us that it was an informal kind of an input. Now, we thought that on the basis of that input, they were going to exchange views with the department, after which a final product, therefore, taking care of their concerns, would be considered by now. Unfortunately, that did not happen, which is, I don't know, Chairperson, quite unacceptable to hear that they are still going to consult the complement of the commission, which means that we were taken for a ride for the whole morning. By being given an informal presentation. But I think the honor is on you now, Chairperson, to rule on this matter. The fact of the matter is that come tomorrow, we want to vote on the bill on the basis of the processes that we've gone through. If someone has missed the train, then so be it. Sanko also has missed the train. Thank you.
Honorable Domen, I would appreciate your voice.
The first one to hear is it's hot to Mr. Tang or Shankar?
no, Yuritia, I'm in your hands. I think that everything is actually covered. We asked them a few questions which I felt that they couldn't improve or impact on the legislation as we have it. They pointed out the problem of customary law, which we have to deal with the bill before us. So I would also say let's start tomorrow at 10 o'clock. If they've made some input that we can still quickly consider, then so be it. But for the rest, we must move on.
Well, thank you, Kodit, and thank you, the official from the department. I think, Kodit, we are all correct. But there is only one thing that we must be clear about. There is a submission that has been made before. And the democratic process of this parliament dictates that we must consider. And if they're not there, we must accept. We must consider. It was in that spirit that I think this committee said, can't the commission and actually doesn't compare to come up with a commission. And I think it was in that spirit. And the underlying reason for that proposition, which was instead of against me, was the expression from the commission that well, the clause that they were complaining about as formulated was having a potential of undoing whatever they had done. That is the thing. If the department who comes to us, the committee, having considered that, we are of the view that in fact what they fear is no basis. We will be comfortable with that. We'll have to apply our minds. That's all what really is required. That is why, therefore, to me, I think please convey to them that the decision of this committee is that they must actually compare with you. We need a formulation tomorrow, but we'll rely on you tomorrow to guide us whether, in fact, the fears expressed by the commission are cadet for you, and then you take the matter from there. But we're not going to wait any longer than 10 o'clock. Not me. The chairperson did actually indicate me that when he considered that we must attend this procedure on that basis, that we're giving the best of the hour for you to confer. After all, the IPR, the Union Department, that you have been accepted to really improve those relationships with this committee from now up until then. So I think the circumstances is we must then adjourn this meeting tomorrow at 10 o'clock. And I'm advised then that tomorrow we go to committee room number 2 at 90 Street and we comment at 10 o'clock.
With respect to what you said there, and the risk of regards to, I had thought that the concern expressed by the commission related to one part of the deal concerning that there was nothing with respect to
another
house. And so that we'll be in a position to proceed with that today, this afternoon, and with the adults tomorrow.
Okay.
I had thought.
Yeah.
I'm thinking aloud.
Yeah. Yeah. No. In view of the fact that some of our members are not here. And you are now facing me on the court so that I can report this, which I didn't want to record. We felt that, no, there's not a plan until tomorrow. Because the decision must be taken when I'm sure that there's a sufficient number of persons and that. So, colleagues and officials and guests, thank you very much.